much. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you guys. It's so good to be with you this morning. And it is Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's amazing. I want to encourage you that this isn't just any Sunday. This is an incredible moment in not just a calendar, but it's an incredible feast. If we begin to understand the timelines of the Lord, it's amazing. I remember a couple of years ago, the Lord saying to me, it's amazing that we always jump into timelines. And wineskins, but I felt the Lord put them two words together, is what is the time skin you're in right now, that the Lord wants to do something in your heart and in your life, amen? And so I'm just so excited that today is an opportunity where we are just so encouraged that in the upper room, God brought together 120 people who weren't perfect, 120 people who didn't have it all together. I tell you, after 50 days, I wouldn't have it all together as well. Amen? But God brought them together for a purpose. And it's amazing. When God joins people together, he doesn't look at our humanity. He looks at our identity, who we are in Christ, and who we continue to be. And so I really sense this morning the Lord wants to really speak into our hearts and really speak into what he's wanting to do this day. I'll tell you something, Pentecost for Pentecostals is like grand final. But what saddens me is that when you look at the MCG on grand final, you see something we're not seeing in Christians. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. You see, God has got to bring us into a place where we can't play church. We can't just be going, oh, well, that's great. Either there's a passion in us, or we're in a place where we're just going through the motions. But I want to encourage you, God doesn't want business as usual, amen? He wants business as unusual. And so if Pentecost is grand final for Pentecostals, then guys, it goes beyond us just celebrating a day. The Pentecost isn't a day, it's a lifestyle. It's not an event. But God did something on that day that set in motion something that would change the world. Setting something in motion that day that would continue to change the world. That the promise of the Holy Spirit to us wasn't just for us, but it was for the world. See, 3.5 years, Jesus with his disciples, and then the promise of the Father came. You see, that promise wasn't an event. It was a promise. It wasn't what happened, it was who happened. And that promise continues to be with us. And so no matter what is happening around us, is what is happening in us and what the Holy Spirit is wanting to continually do every day is what gets me up in the morning. Amen? Is what continues to bring me to a place is because I've got a promise, I've got a purpose. Let me try this side. Because I've got a promise, I've got a purpose. That the promise wasn't an event. The promise wasn't, hey, go and wait and the Spirit of God will come upon you and we'll have a good feeling. We'll have a great meeting. I tell you, I think we have reduced the Holy Spirit to good feelings instead of bringing our experience up to realizing the Holy Spirit is there for empowerment so that the impossible becomes possible. So that the dead things become alive, that the unsaved become saved. That we live a life that is distinct, that is set apart, because that's what Holy Spirit does. I'll tell you something, when you know you've got the Holy Spirit, when you walk into a room, options change. Amen. Amen. When you know you've got the Holy Spirit, you live in a community and options change. Because all of a sudden now, you don't fit in, you stand out. When you've got the Holy Spirit, you don't fit in, you stand out. And the problem is when we try to fit in, we compromise. When we stand out, we have compassion. And so there's an invitation for us here this morning as Pentecostals. You know, when's the last time you heard this word? I am born again and Spirit-filled. We get woke with our identity. I'm a believer. No, friend, you are born again and you are Spirit-filled. You're a tongue talking, demon casting, fire breathing Christian. Amen. And if we can understand this, that's what we're invited to. And so my circumstance doesn't change my identity, but my identity changes my circumstance. And we have to realize, no matter what is happening externally, who he is and who we are remains the same. I remember when the last 3 years, we're not going to talk about the C word this morning, amen? But in the last 3 years, you know, when that hit, friends, it didn't change anything. Because the gospel was still the gospel. Faith is still faith. God is still God. Jesus, you know, the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. But what it did was focus us to realize, hey, keep the main thing the main thing. And this is what Pentecost does. It caused 120 people to come together to realize we have to keep the main thing the main thing. But Peter, you denied me. No, keep the main thing the main thing. I restored you. Thomas, you doubted. No, keep the main thing the main thing. Can you imagine the destiny of Pentecost if that was based on the dysfunction of the disciples? They never would have come together. But in the denying, the doubting, and the running away, God brought them together and said, wait until you're endued with power from on high. Sometimes we've got to wait, guys. Sometimes there's a waiting. And in the waiting, that's when we begin to realize who he is and who we are. I think a lot of times we just want to rush. We want to just get it done. But sometimes there's power in the waiting. Amen? There's something in the waiting. Let me use this word for those that like barbecuing amongst us. There's something about the marinating. Amen? Don't just chuck them wings in and do it in 20 minutes. There's something about when you put that steak, them wings in the fridge for 24 hours, something happens. Amen? And I think we have to sometimes get into a place of not just connecting with, but actually determining in our hearts that God has set us apart for such a time as this. I want to encourage you right now, friends, that our attitude will determine our altitude. That them disciples could have come into that room full of fear, which they did, but they could have got frustrated, they could have anything. But their attitude determined their altitude. I don't care who you are this morning, if your attitude is one of dishonor, if your attitude is one of anything other than staying hungry to God, then friends, your altitude isn't going to get you far. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. Why don't we make this meeting legal this morning and turn to some scripture? Amen? Guys, I feel like we're in a season right now in the church, and I feel like this morning, even though I feel like I'm here this morning to speak to you, I feel like I'm speaking to the global church, and I'm honored this morning by the invite of Pastor Larry and Krista to be with you guys this morning. And I feel like this is not just a word to the church, but I feel like it's to the global church, because I feel like we're in a season right now where God is doing incredible things, but there's a tension. There's a tension of what's happening in the earth. There's this incredible tension of what's happening on the earth. And a couple of months ago, I just came before the Lord and I say, Father, I just don't understand with what's happening. And you see, when you don't understand something, you can find yourself standing against it. Let me say that again. When you don't understand something, you can find yourself standing against it. And that's why Paul prays is that the Lord would not just give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but also understanding. And you see, we've got to understand. So when we understand, we don't stand against it, but we actually stand under what he's doing. And so I came to the Lord, I said, Father, I don't understand. In the earth right now, there's these spontaneous moves of the Spirit. But it seems like there's these two moves going on of we're seeing this revival happening. And then we're also seeing this deep connection, what I would call this spiritual formation, where people are being called to this place of formation, this place of identity, this deep heart work, where quietness and solitude and contemplation are taking place. And I'm like, God, which one? And he said, both and. But God, I want to see revival. But also as well, I want to see an inner work happen to a place where the inworking becomes the outworking. And you might find yourself here this morning and you've heard this sort of phrase so many times, you know, we're in revival. Guys, I believe we're in revival. I come from a land, I was going to say down under, but I don't. And I'm not from Tasmania, but I come from the land of revival. The people have said Wales. And I remember once someone come up to me and say, Gary, you know, it's so sad that revival stopped in Wales. I said, no, revival didn't stop. The church did. Because if the Bible says he gives the Spirit without measure, the moment that we come with our measuring sticks, then it's not without measure anymore. When we try and quantify it, when we try and control it, it's not without measure. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? And so I'm coming before the Lord. I say, Father, I just need understanding of what is happening in the earth because I celebrate revival. But I also celebrate this incredible move of the Spirit of spiritual formation and God doing a deep work in hearts. And we see the likes of Asbury where literally one of my friends went and he said, Gary, it was like the Spirit of God showed up in the evangelical church. It was like the Spirit of God showed up in an Anglican service. And the thing is we can judge the form but deny the power. Because one thing I've learned is God isn't looking, as Catherine Kuhlman once said, he's not looking for vessels of gold or vessels of silver. He's looking for yielded vessels. And I think that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He wasn't looking for perfection. He was looking for yieldedness. If you don't understand that word yield, let's bring it into the Australian context. It's called give way. We've all seen the triangle. It's not in America, it's yield. But in Australia, it's give way. How many of us have given way to the Spirit instead of cutting off the Spirit? Because the give way is a place where you give way instead of cutting off. And how many people have been guilty this week? We're not going to do a repentance service, but how many people this week have been guilty of cutting someone off? And you've allowed the fruits of the Spirit to just rise up in your life. Amen? I tell you, driving is where the fruits of the Spirit get tested. I swear, your car is where the fruits of the Spirit get tested. Because I'm telling you right now, patience isn't bountiful in my car. Amen? That's why I don't put a fish on my car. Amen? I don't want to be identified. But friends, I asked the Lord, and this is what I felt like the Lord said to me, is you've got to understand my Spirit to stand under my Spirit, but not stand against it. And you have this incredible thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. The fire came. But friends, when we think about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing, because I believe we're in the move of the Spirit, all of us who are charismatic or charismaniacs this morning, but of Pentecostal heritage, we realize when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think of fire. When we think of Pentecost, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the upper room. But we forget and fail to remember that the Holy Spirit didn't just manifest as fire. How else did he manifest on the earth? He came as a dove. And we find this in John 1, 32, 34. The Bible says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And he remained, everyone say remained, upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So all of a sudden, John is seeing this incredible outpouring, this descending of the dove. And we forget that this incredible descent wasn't just a visitation, but it was a habitation. The Spirit just didn't come, but John says it remained. Now my question to you this morning, did it remain when Jesus was on the cross? Absolutely. Because John wouldn't have said, who wrote the whole book, that I saw him remain until the cross. No, he said, I saw him remain. The only one that Jesus felt abandoned from was what? The Father. Because if the Spirit left him, then we couldn't connect with the verse. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And this is what I love, is the Spirit didn't leave Jesus, but remained. I want to tell you right now, you might be going through your crucifixion, but the Spirit's remained. You might be going through that 3 days of feeling like you're in the grave, but the Spirit remains. And this is the beautiful thing. No matter what we go through, the Spirit remains. How many of us have been taught about the little dove on our shoulder, and we've got to watch what we do and say because he could flutter off? No, no, no. Jesus cleansed the temple with a whip and the Spirit remained. Am I speaking to somebody? I'm telling you, that's, you know, remember them bands, What Would Jesus Do? That's an option. But the Spirit remained. And so we find this incredible invitation right now of not just us seeing the fire, but the dove. And if we were to understand what is happening in the earth right now, it's not either or, it's both and. And if I was to bring it down into this incredible understanding of what is happening, is we have the fire and we have the dove. We have the fire and we have the dove. That what the Lord is doing in the earth, you see, the fire represents revival, inspiration, power, demonstration, the Spirit. That's the fire. But the dove represents spiritual formation, identity. When the Spirit fell, it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The dove represents spiritual formation, identity, devotion, the inworking, the Word. So we have both the Word and the Spirit. Am I speaking to somebody? And we've got to have a balance of the both. You see, too much word and no Spirit, you dry up. Too much Spirit and no word, you blow up. But word and Spirit, you grow up. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. And so we have this incredible invitation of not either or, both and. And so I celebrate revival in the earth because the fire of God is being poured out. But I also celebrate when the Lord is moving in deep spiritual formation, discipleship, that place of identity, because the dove is descending. Is it either or? No, it's both and. And my heart is that we would come into a maturity where we would see both Spirit and Word take place. But I want to tell you right now, if you're waiting for the Spirit of God to fall on perfection, then guys, you'll be waiting a long time. Because in Genesis 1, it says the Spirit was on top of chaos. When I see chaos, I see potential. It's like someone's pantry. When you go into someone's house and their pantry's perfect, I think, now I'm in a show home. I'm not in a home. But when you go into someone's pantry and all the, you know, everything's ever, you're like, this is a home. This is where cooking takes place. Amen. This is where I tell you, friends, don't worry when people, I don't care when I go to people's houses, because I'll tell you, this is the other thing as well. People who have cleaners. I pray for people who have cleaners, because you flipping clean before the cleaner comes. So why is the cleaner coming? And it's the same within our lives. When we invite Jesus, when we invite the Holy Spirit, we do all the work, and then we say, Jesus, do something. He says, I can't, because your works are in the way of my worth. Don't try and baptize yourself again. Don't try and get into the works of the flesh, but actually stand into the works of the Spirit. And I feel like this morning, this is what the Lord is inviting us to. And this is what he said to me. He said, church, God is inviting us to the school of the Holy Spirit. That we would know what it is again to step into a place of not thinking we know it all, but we need to learn. And this is something that he's inviting us as a church into, is that we would return again to them things that we first did. That we would get back to our first love and not think we know it all, but realize, God, you're doing something so unique, so powerful, that I want to depend on you again, that I want to put my trust. You see, the Bible doesn't say that the just live in faith. It says they live by faith. That my faith isn't built on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. My prayer is that we would connect with His Spirit before we connect with anything else. Why do we find ourselves allowing His Spirit to be our last resort instead of our first response? Am I speaking to somebody? The school of the Holy Spirit. I remember driving once, and I'm sitting. How many people know? How many people like this? These detours. I didn't sign up for them things. They just come up on the road, all of a sudden, detour. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for that tour. Why are you sending me on a detour? Because I didn't sign up for it. I didn't pay any money to go on this detour. But you go down these roads, and you're like, where is it taking me? And it's, this yellow sign has so much power over your life. Because it'll take you places you didn't expect you were going to go. And so instead of getting frustrated now with detours, I actually open my heart and say, okay, God, show me something I've never seen. In preparation for something I've never experienced. And I remember going on one of these government tours. I call them government tours. Amen? Vic Road tours. And I remember, it's amazing. Get them for free. So you go down this route. I'm sitting at the traffic lights. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I look out and I see this sign. And it said, Holy Spirit Community School. And straight away, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. He said, Gary, it's time for the church to go back to school. That what we've tried to lead for too long, God wants us to start learning in again. You see, when you're a leader, you don't stop being a learner. The same way as when I became a father, I didn't stop being a son. Because if being a father, I stopped being a son, then all my life would be about protecting and providing without realizing I'm actually protected and provided for as well. Am I speaking to somebody? And so this incredible place of sitting there looking at this, and it said Holy Spirit Community School, and it had four words on it: faith, family, and friendship. And I'm sitting there and I'm just messing, and the Lord's beginning to speak to me. And all of a sudden this rude person behind me starts honking me. It's like, I came out of this encounter. How dare you? And then the Lord began to speak to me again. And He said, Gary, if you stay stationary at a green light, you're not just stopping you, you're stopping everyone else behind you. How many of us in this place have stopped at a green light? And we're not just stopping our destiny, but we're stopping everyone else behind us. Leaders, I want to encourage you right now. When God says stop, you stop. But when God says go, don't you stop. Because you'll not only hold you back, you'll hold everyone else behind you back as well. And so I began to just spend time with the Lord. And this is what I felt the Lord saying. He said He began to speak to me that we're in a pivotal time as the church where full reliance, obedience, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit is a non-negotiable. Everyone say non-negotiable. And what will set us apart in these end days, that He was taking us into the Holy Spirit school to learn ancient truths for present times. Let me say that again. That God is wanting to teach us ancient truths for present times. You see, we can try and get so relevant that we become irrelevant. That we can be, let me say it like this. The church is trying to get so relevant that it's become irreverent. We've become so relevant that we've become irreverent. You see, I'd rather be reverent and irreverent. I'd rather be reverent and not relevant. But I'll never want to be relevant and irreverent. I have to hold that tension of holiness before the Lord. But how many people know when you have a dynamic encounter with Him, when your heavenly affection is paramount and number one, your earthly affection or affection becomes a paramount. Am I speaking to somebody? And this is what he began to speak to me. Faith, family, and friendship are key into what God is doing. Everyone say faith in God. Unquestionable faith in his power, unwavering hope in his promises, and unshakable trust in his plans. That's what God is going to do. Let me say it again. Unwavering hope, unquestionable faith, and unshakable trust. That if God says it, I'll believe it. See, faith is a currency that is independent on this world. It's not a stock market and it ain't a FX. The currency of faith is the currency of faith. Because, you see, the word of God will change the world, but the world will never change the word of God. And if you got a word on your life, it'll never change. 1 Corinthians 2:5, Paul, when he came to the Corinthians, said, listen, guys, when I came to you, I didn't come with wise words and persuasive words, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. When does the faith of man rest in the wisdom of man? When there's description but not demonstration. When we describe God instead of demonstrate him. That's when faith is in the wisdom of man. It's when we describe God instead of demonstrate. When we talk, but we don't action. Amen? I love these people come to me and say, hey, Gary, will you pray for me? I remember meeting someone in Eastland once, and we're talking, and he said, hey, I'd love you and Sarah to pray for me. And he said, but great catching up. I said, whoa, wait. I said, let's pray. Yeah. And you can see, like, all of a sudden, he's just praying like the cone of silence would just come down from heaven. No, no, no. We're going to pray, buddy, and I'm Pentecostal. And so in the middle of Eastland, right by John, you know, the butchers and John's nuts and all that, all of a sudden I'm standing there, Rasata karaba sikarama, rete kiaraba sakoromo sondorabashie, ratatarama masanda. And you can see, like, the guy's white and he speaks like an African. And I'm like, it's like, no, no, that's the gift of tongues, buddy. I might be in some dialect somewhere, but that's the gift of tongues. And I just started praying. And because I'm telling you right now, the power of God isn't restricted by where we are. It's only restricted by who we are. The sky ain't the limit, your thinking is. Whew. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. We have to have unshakable trust, unwavering hope, and unquestionable faith in his power. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? We have to be a people of faith. That's the invitation right now, Casey City Church, is that you're a people of faith. Faith speaks. Faith presents options that weren't there at the beginning. Faith presents an environment that we can anchor into, that our faith is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, either you subscribe to his narrative or you put up with the noise. And I refuse to put up with the noise any longer. Government, media, whatever. I refuse to put up with the noise. I am connecting to the narrative. Am I speaking to somebody? The second one is the family of God. Everyone say family. Friends, I want to speak to your hearts right now. Connection to the body of Christ is paramount in these days. Vulnerability will be our victory. Vulnerability will be our victory. Lord spoke to me this years ago. He said, Gary, you don't reach a city by your victories. You reach them by your vulnerabilities. Are you willing people to see? Not just see. Are you willing for people to get to know you, not just know you? We connect by our vulnerabilities, not our victories. Hey, guess what? Not every day is a Sunday, amen? I tell you, whoever wrote Easy Like Sunday Morning wasn't a pastor. Whoever wrote Easy Like Sunday Morning wasn't a parent. Probably some bachelor who just decided to go to church one day. But I'm telling you, it's not easy like Sunday morning, amen? And so if we are going to be vulnerable, then we have to be honest. If we're going to be vulnerable, then we have to be compassionate. If we're going to be vulnerable, then we have to create a safe place that isn't a safe, that isn't a place of pointing fingers, but open hearts. That's the family of God. Family is what connects us. Family is what keeps us safe. Family is what is paramount for us in these days. Sticking close and not isolating will be a garrison for your soul in these days. Let me say it again. Sticking close and not isolating will be a garrison. Everyone say garrison. Garrison. Whew, this is where protection comes. Sticking close and not isolating. I'll tell you, COVID wanted you to be isolated. It was an agenda of the enemy. Therefore, whatever the agenda of the enemy is, I do opposite. If the enemy wants me to be isolated, I'm going to be connected. If the enemy wants me restricted, I'm going to find my liberations. I'm telling you, when they said you could only walk 5K, you can only do 5Ks from your house, that became the most prayer walked 5Ks I've ever done. I tell you, did that amaze you? During lockdown? Well, as soon as they put restrictions on, I've seen people walking in my street I've never seen before. It's like all of a sudden, now they became Jane Fonda or something. It's like they're getting their steps up. And I'm like, I've never seen you walk in my life. All of a sudden, restrictions were lifted, they're back in the house. You never see them walk again. Like, what is that? Church, why is it? Why is it? Seems the opposite in the church. When the Lord is blessing, we gather. But when the enemy's attacking, we scatter. I'm telling you, when the Lord is blessing, we should scatter because we need to go into all the earth and make disciples. But when the enemy's attacking, we come close. Am I speaking to somebody? Sticking close and not isolating will be a garrison for your soul. Being counted amongst the household of faith means you can be counted on when you're needed by others and in need yourself. Being counted amongst the household of faith means you can be counted on. When people can't count on you, ask the question, am I counted amongst the people? Or am I on the outskirts? Am I a spectator and not a participator? I'm telling you, all hands on deck in this season. Turn to your neighbor and say, all hands on deck. All hands on deck in this season. I'm telling you right now, God is calling the household of faith because we need to end this together. Amen? We're all in this together. It's not just a super fun, guys. We're all in this together. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? Ephesians 2:19 talks about being fitted together. Let's bring that up. Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I love it. Members of the household. Do you know what that means? I've got access to things that non-members have got access to. Woo-hoo! If you're not a member of the household of God, then guess what? You ain't got the benefits. You ain't got the privileges. You ain't got the access that God wants you to have. And this is the beautiful thing. I think we walk around as Christians sometimes. This is like having $1 million in the bank and thinking you're skint. Or having a Ferrari in the garage and you're driving around in a Ford Focus. Now, you might like the Ford Focus and God bless you, amen? But I tell you, we walk around sometimes as believers not realizing the access that the inheritance we've got in the saints. And that's what Paul prayed in Ephesians. Guys, I pray that the eyes of your hearts being opened, that you would know what is the inheritance, what are the riches, what are the depths. Am I speaking to somebody? Ask yourself this question. Am I counted amongst the household of God? Do I have ownership or am I just renting? Am I renting or do I have ownership in the household of God? The third one, everyone say friendship. Face-to-face encounters with the Most High. Dynamic devotions that bring unimaginable solutions to impossible situations as he shares his thoughts with us. That's what connection, that's what friendship with God. I'm telling you something right now, friends. I meet so many people that's all they have is Jesus as Lordship, but they don't have friendship. We have to have both end. I want the Lordship of him in my life and the friendship of him in my life. Because if I just have his Lordship, I have a posture of worship. But if I have his friendship, I have a purpose. I have a purpose in my life to tell everyone about my friend. Only people, when you meet someone who just is just phenomenal. Oh my gosh, I love this guy. And you tell everyone about them. You see, that's what we have to do. That's why it's called the gospel, not gossip, amen? We have to move from gossip to gospel. The good reports of the Lord. The good reports. When we connect with him, we get unimaginable solutions to problems. Amen. We're living in a season right now, friends, where access to God isn't about our what we get. It's about who we have. And I really sense, like, in this place right now, it would be phenomenal, just like Abraham, that we're known as friends of God. Amen. There's two people in Scripture that were known as friends. One was Moses. It says that he met with God face to face, Exodus 33:11, that he met with God face to face like a friend. But Abraham, it tells us in Romans, that it was accounted to him righteousness, that he was called a friend of God. How many people have you read Romans about Abraham's life? Like, what was Paul thinking? Because I'm sure I read in Genesis, not what I read in Romans. Because in Genesis, he didn't believe the promise. He doubted it. But how many people know that Jesus changes the narrative? That Jesus changes the narrative. You see, you could be in a place right now, and this is the noise, but I want to tell you, Jesus brings a narrative. There is a narrative that he brings that brings freedom to hearts and restores something deep in our core. I want you to put your hand on your heart right now, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I receive your narrative. Wow. I let go of the noise and I receive your narrative in Jesus' name. See, friends, if he is the author and the finisher of our faith, then we've got to stop being the editor. If he is the author and the finisher of our faith, then we've got to stop being the editor. We've got to put the pen down, amen? We've got to put the eraser down. We've got to stop changing what he's already said. We've got to stop adding to and taking away what he's already said. Because he is, and this is what friendship with God does. The pursuit of his heart, lingering in his presence, and open and uninterrupted connection to his voice, all come as friendship with God. This is what going back to the school of the Holy Spirit is about. It's about family. It's about faith. It's about friendship. If we boil all that right down, it's about connection. And I want to encourage you this morning, friends. What is distracting you? What is disrupting? What is causing you to take your eyes off the wonderful Holy Spirit? That we have connection with him. That we have uninterrupted FaceTime. Amen? Apple didn't come up with that. Moses did. It's amazing. Moses, I tell you, Steve Jobs, I think he just read the first 5 books. He was Jewish, by the way. But I tell you, Moses was the first to have an iPad, amen? He had 2 tablets. Exodus 33:11. It says that he had FaceTime with God. Steve Jobs didn't come up with that. Moses did, amen? He didn't come up with the apple. Eve came up with that. And we've been paying for it ever since. No, I'm joking. I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that this is a season, that this is a lifestyle. This is an invitation this morning that we would step into not just a place of experience, but a place of encounter. That the Holy Spirit is not there to make us feel good. He's there for us to be good. That he is a promise that's connected to a purpose. And I want to pray this morning. Larry, I'd love you to come and tinkle the keys if you can. But I really feel this morning, I felt like God has invited me here to minister. And those who know me, I usually minister prophetically, but I really sense this morning the Lord really wants to step into a place that each and every one of us, God does something in our hearts. And I really sense this morning that I can't say, Father, send your spirit like fire. Send your spirit like a dove. You see, he is the spirit without measure. But I know this morning there's people in this place, you need an encounter with the fire of God. But there's those people in this place, you need an encounter with the dove. Because for so long, others have determined your identity, but you need a father who is going to speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. There's times in our life, friends, where the Father needs to speak. There's times in our life where it's not about fire. It's not about rushing wind. It's not about a shaking. It's about a Father speaking. It's about a dove. It's about the one who represents not just a moment, but a movement in God. And I'm so encouraged this morning in this place that God is establishing, that God is undergirding, and God is bringing something that is beyond our comprehension. This truly is a Philippians 1:6 moment, that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place this morning. Friends, I'd love you to just open up your hearts right now. And I want you to ask the Father to speak to you. Father, what would you want to say to me right now? Don't allow the noise. Don't allow man's narrative to circumvent what the Lord is wanting to speak to your heart right now. Sometimes whispers become shouts because the Lord wants to speak to our hearts and change our lives. And friend, if you're here this morning, and you know that the noise has been greater than the narrative, I just want you to stand, and I want to pray for you this morning in this place, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shikarabasikaramarede. Father, we thank you right now, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for every heart in this place. We thank you that, Lord, you are establishing a narrative, that you are establishing, Lord, an incredible place of establishment within our lives right now. In Jesus' name. Wow. What's your name, my friend? Rod. Yeah, I just feel like the Lord is so funny. I just saw it as I came to pray. I just hear the Father say, I'm turning the rod to a staff. And you've been like a rod to yourself in your own life. And God says, I'm turning the beating to a blessing. You've been like a rod of iron to yourself. You don't need anyone else. It's like you've been this to yourself for so long. And I just see the Father coming, rod, and bringing a staff. And I just hear the Father say, I'm going to part seas. I'm going to call forth refreshing. Everything Moses did with his staff, God says, I'm going to do in your life. This is a season right now of parting the seas, bringing freedom to your heart. Father, right now for Rod, Lord, I just thank you. Freedom to his heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. What man has written off, Lord, you're writing down right now. You're writing down purpose. You're writing down promise. Lord, over Rod right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I release your blessing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What's your name, honey? Jenny, just hold my hand. Father, thank you for Jenny. Since I heard your name with that song, Jenny from the Block. But I felt like the Lord is saying, every blockage he's taking away right now. Every obstacle he's removing. Every attack, and it's like it's gone down to almost an unseeable level. The Lord is bringing freedom, and I just see body, soul, and spirit. That the Lord is bringing absolute freedom. And I just see that verse in Timothy, that the Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, one of love, and one of a sound mind. And I just see the Father just speaking into your mind right now and just quietening and removing every fear. It doesn't mean you won't fear, it just means you won't be fearful. Father, right now, Lord, release faithful where there's been fearful. In Jesus' name. Every fear, Lord, every word that isn't from you that has been spoken over Jenny's life, Lord, we just nullify right now. And Lord, we bring your word. I just hear that song. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. Far from him. Your desires are not silent to him, says the Lord. Your cries haven't fallen on deaf ears. But today is a day of reckoning. And the two words I hear, it's a day of reckoning and a day of recognizing. Reckoning over your enemies and recognizing that you are a daughter of the Most High. And I'm not a God who gives and takes away. I don't snatch destiny. I don't snatch purpose. I give destiny and I take away disappointment. But I don't give and take away the same thing. And whatever man has robbed from you, God says, I will restore to you sevenfold. For where you've been misunderstood, where you've been maligned, God says, I'm going to restore and bring recompense. Not next year, but the year after, this year. In Jesus' name. I just keep hearing this phrase, Jenny. Stop looking for a house because you found a home. Sitting in your needs unknown, your desires have been received, and your cries have not fallen on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Shikarabasi karamabarebe. Thank you, Lord. Come on, His name is healing. His name is power. Friend, if you're here this morning and you need healing, just put your hand wherever that needs healing right now. You don't need me to put your hands on you. The Holy Spirit is here. Whatever you need right now, whatever you need healing in right now, whatever it is, just put your hand right there and just say thank you. Hope says please, but faith says thank you. Wow. Woo. Wow. Jesus. Jesus. I've got the same word, but for two people. So, what's your name, honey? Marie, why don't you just stand? I want you to put your coat on. And Pastor Krista, why don't you stand as well? I just keep seeing this Red Riding Hood. And I just hear the Father saying, and it's going to be a word that hits you both, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is just wanting to breathe right now and say, hey, I'm dealing with a wolf. And I'm restoring the words of your grandmother. I don't know what that's connected with, but it's like whatever has replaced that nurturing, that protecting, that grandmother place. God says, I'm dealing with the wolf. I'm dealing with the wolf. And no longer is deception, and no longer is the place of being deceived going to occupy your place any longer. For the Lord says, I am bringing clarity and definition to your heart and to your mind. And what has tried to deceive you, what has tried to cause deception, the Lord says, I'm dealing with the deception because I'm dealing with the wolves. And I just declare over your life right now, where you've had a life of breadcrumbs, the Lord says, I'm bringing the bread. I'm bringing the bread. I'm taking you out of the crumbs. And I'm bringing you to the table. And no longer are you going to stand alone. No longer are you going to be one who fights alone. But the Lord says, I'm going to bring unity, and I'm going to bring clarity, and I'm going to bring the place when what God has put together, let no man separate. Let no situation separate. Let no purpose separate, but God's going to unite. Because there is a unite in the fight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I release blessing. And Lord, where there's been people who have been jealous, Lord, of what you favored her with, Lord, we just deal with that jealousy right now in Jesus' name. And God, where she's had to function in half her capacity, Lord, we bring an unlocking right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we say, unclip the wings right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak full flight to her talent, to her giftings. And no longer, Lord, is she going to hide. And no longer is she going to tone down. No longer is she going to compromise the power of God that is upon her life for the sake of others. But I speak brilliance to your heart, honey. I speak full measure, full clarity, and full release in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No longer hidden, but seen in Jesus' name. No longer hidden, but seen in Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Pastor Krista, I'd love you to come and stand next to Pastor Larry right now. Father, thank you for this incredible couple. Friends, just stretch your hands out to these guys. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for what you purposed upon their life, what you released upon their life. Lord, I thank you right now that, Lord, truly this is a season of Abraham becoming Abraham. And I feel like the Lord is there's a changing of a name right now. But I feel like the Lord is changing the name. And I feel like it's a changing of a name that's an upgrade. And it's not a changing of a name over a place or a place or a church or anything, but I feel like there's a changing of a name over you guys. And the Lord is upgrading your season right now. He's upgrading where you're at, but also as well where you're going. And I feel like the Lord is adding to, and he's not taking away. The Lord is multiplying, and he's not dividing. And I just see like these mathematical things over your life. And I feel like the Lord is saying subtraction and division are being taken away from you right now. But multiplication and addition are being yours in this season. And I felt like the Lord is saying, I'm going to reveal to you in this time that what has been an equation, what has been a sum, the Lord says is about to become an answer. Is about to become a breakthrough. Is about to become that which I'm revealing and releasing. And I just see three doors over your life. I see 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul says, a great and effective door is open to me, but there's opposition. Then I see a second door. It's like it's raised up above this other door, and it's a Revelation 3:8. Lord said, I've set an open door before you that no man will shut. I see that you are weak, but yet you have not denied my name and you have kept my word. And then I see a third door. It's like Revelation 4:1. The Lord says, I saw a door open in heaven. And the Spirit of God says, come up and see what must take place after this. And I felt like the Lord saying, there's this, but there's also after this. And the Lord says, focus on the after this, not just the this. Because I'm telling you into a season right now where you are going to see the open door of after this. There's three doors. And three doors speak of a Trinitarian blessing upon your life. That what you're about to walk through, the Lord says, you'll need the Father, you'll need the Son, and you'll need the Holy Spirit. But God says it's not a shut door, it's an open door. All three verses speak of open doors. And the Lord said, what man has tried to shut, I've opened. And it's a Key of David season that what God has opened, no man will shut. But God's about to shut things that God, no man will be able to open. And it's a season upon your life where literally you will see doors. It will become an unusual, almost like an inside joke of everywhere you go, you'll see different doors and how different doors are made, how different doors are set, how different doors are even cantilevered. And I feel like the Lord is releasing right now, not just doors, but double doors. And it's been a season where you've been afforded and given like this door, but the Lord says this is an Isaiah 45 season where double doors are going to open before you. Not so you can just go through together, but there's room to take others. And I just see again, I just see this incredible strategy, but I feel like the Lord is saying, go to the place of the eagle. And I keep seeing this Bunjil place. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm not going to take you out of the city, but I'm going to put you right in the center of it. And I keep hearing this phrase, when all is said and done, more's going to be done than said. Because I've made you a couple of purpose and of promise. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now. Lord, we just invite you to make a way, to open up the paths. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you. As Paul and Silas so beautifully encountered, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly, Father, I thank you for the suddenlies of God upon this couple. Lord, that you're loosening chains and you're opening prison doors. Lord, you're a door opener. You're a door opener right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. Lord, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is Leon? Leon's gone, is he? Yeah, I'll just be Leon. I just heard the phrase, Leon, it's time to lean on. And I feel like the Lord is saying, lean on me in this season. And I felt like the Lord is saying, I've given you a spirit of completing, not competing. And whatever you feel like you're competing in right now, the Lord says you're going to complete. But it's time to lean on me in this season. Lean on what I have for you, but not just what I have for you, but what I've always had for you. And I just see something being birthed in you where you've come to a crossroads. And I feel like the Lord is inviting you right now. That there is a way that seems right to man. God says, don't look at the right of man. Look at the invitation of God of what I'm inviting you into in this season. Because there's been two or three dreams you've had over the last 18 months. And it shook you to the core. But I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you. Don't run from the dream. Run to the dream. Because what I've spoken and what I've declared will come to pass. And it will not leave you wanting. Father, we bless that right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lean on me, Leon. Lean on me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just raise our hands in this place. I want you to pray this prayer with me this afternoon. Say, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. In my heart and in my home, let your fire fall. And let your dove descend in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you guys and thank you for listening.
Amen. Wow. Guys, come, let's give the Lord an awesome clap offering this morning for... Gary for speaking and ministering to us. You know, how wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just cue some music on, if you wouldn't mind? Thanks. Oops. I always forget this. Thank you.